Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
This morning, we have with us an opportunity to hear from an apostolic gift, an apostolic man. Last Sunday, I introduced Ritesh and Rajib. They're both here, and we're going to hear from Rajib this morning. We're not going to stream our normal live streaming, so if live streaming is still up, we're going to stop that just because of some of the things that Rajib is going to share about his country and his nation, and for protection, for other people's welfare, we are not going to be able to stream this morning. There's going to be some personal things that Rajib's going to be sharing about the ministry in India. Just real quick before I bring him up, Don and Barb, who I saw earlier, there they are. Hola. They're right here with us this morning. In kind of the early to middle 90s, Don was in, may have been Barb also. Were you with them when you went to India? Both of them. This couple went to India, and they're just meeting people, and they encountered Rajib. I don't remember the exact year, whether it was 92, 93, 94, 95, but they encountered Rajib, and Don extended an invitation to a young man named Rajib and said, hey, you need to come to St. Louis. We're starting a program. You need to come, 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 come. And then in 1997, I think was the year, Rajib did come. His wife was pregnant with Ritesh. We can now see him. You couldn't see him in 1997, but he was real and alive in 1997. Rajib came from India, was part of a training, a one-year training program here in St. Louis, was envisioned, encouraged. We added to him what God had already placed in his heart. He went back to India. Thank you, Don and Barb, for investing your time and energy. Isn't it amazing how God uses us to touch other things? And so often, I'm just telling you right now, you're going to be standing in heaven, and you're going to see all that happened as a result of little old you that you had no idea happened. And it's just, it's God's accounting is perfect and beautiful and amazing. So Rajib went back to India, planted tens and dozens of churches in India. It's amazing, whether it's feeding programs, outreach programs, loving people in leper colonies, feeding kids, training kids, whether they're Christian, Hindu, Muslim. I had the privilege of going maybe 4 years ago to India. It's astounding what God has done through people's prayers, people's hearts, and just loving people beautifully. So we have a deep and abiding connection with Rajib and Lily, what they've done with their children, with the leaders in India. And so Rajib has been here a number of times after being here in the 90s. And so we have the privilege this morning of hearing from him, just, I think, some testimonies, stories, encouragement of what God is doing. So could we all just stand real quick? I just want to, well, actually, number one, you can welcome Rajib as he comes. Can we pray? Let's pray. Can you just extend your hands, if you will, towards this man? Jesus, it's all about you. I thank you for your graciousness, your kindness, your power, your mercy, your resurrection power that works so mightily in us. Father, I thank you for this man. I thank you for Lily, his wife, who's back home in India. Father, I thank you that you are amazing. Holy Spirit, for what you've already done inside this couple, inside this man, inside his children, all the people that have come to know you, Jesus, because of you, King Jesus, because of you.
Yes, Lord.
Bless the family in India this morning. All the people that, you know, 11 and a half hours different than us, Lord, bless them. Encourage them this morning as they have sent their best and their finest in, Lord, your servant. Thank you for Rajib. Holy Spirit, speak through him this morning. Flow like a mighty river through him to us. Lord, that we would catch your heart that is operating so mightily and beautifully in him. Lord, that we would catch vision, we would catch power, we would catch your might this morning. Lord, thank you that you've allowed us to partner with people all across the world. What an honor, what a privilege. Anointing and favor on this man this morning as he shares your heart to us. Father, we receive. We want to mix it with faith that it would produce a bountiful harvest in this nation, Father. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen. And amen. Amen. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Hello, hello, Jake.
Hello.
I hope you all can hear me.
Yes.
And I'm going to speak a little slowly because my English is not good. My mother tongue is Bengali, which is the seventh largest linguistic group in the world. And your mother tongue is English, which is first linguistic group in the world. So we are seventh godly number. And you are one the day when you create, everything creation started. Thank you, Ben. Good to see you. And today I would like to just ask Don and Barbara, will you just stand up?
Yes, yes, yes.
And honor you. Thank you, sir, for your investment. And thank you for not only your investment in India, but all over the world.
Amen.
And still your company is investing and putting seeds in all over the world. We appreciate and we pray for you.
Amen.
Thank you, sir.
Amen.
And your beloved Pastor Tom and Randy is here. And I also like to honor Rick and Holly and Adam. Always they keep me. Every day morning they see this Indian face. From day to night they make breakfast and they provide everything. Even they wash our clothing. Today I forgot to bring my coat. And Holly brought us here again. She went back and brought my coat. She did all types of things, what I was supposed to do. Thank you. Will you just stand up?
Yeah.
Sir, ma'am, sir, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you all for your love and care. I would like to start by sharing with a story. That's a true story. There was a guy whose name was Thomas. He used to stay in Russia, in Soviet Union. He was 20 years old, young, beautiful. And in 1945, something happened there. And police caught him and put him into jail. And he was in jail for 50 years. In 1995, maybe they released all those prisoners. So he came out. While he was coming out, he asked his jailer, "Can you give me one mirror? Because these 50 years, I didn't see my face. 50 years back, I saw my face while I was 20 years old." So warden gave him a mirror. He took the mirror, put the mirror in front of his face, and he threw that mirror because he saw his face strong, youth. And now he is seeing broken man,
yes,
old man. Sometimes I think, is there any mirror for our soul? Every day we see our in front of mirror, we see our face.
Yes.
Is there any mirror to see our soul? That's Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
There's the scripture that shows our mirror. Many places, time I go around the India or outside of India, many a time I personally think, how I'm walking, how close I'm walking with God. Yes, God is using me, but how close I'm walking.
Yes.
Am I this 20 years old, strong man of God? Or now 70 years old, broken man? So today, I would like to tell you about one man who used to walk very close with God. And my subject of today, of my preaching, is how to practice kingdom culture.
Beautiful.
How to practice kingdom culture in your personal life, and also in your church life, also in your ministry life, and also in your family. It's very hard now these days. There was a man whose name was Daniel. And you all know this story. I'm going to save some time. So I'm not going to read all the scripture, but some of the places certainly I'm going to read. That's chapter 1, Daniel. And we know this story. And in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and beside it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then king ordered Asaphan's chief of his court officials to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. And then if you go down, you will find king asked that steward to provide them wine and kingly food and give them good place to stay and other things. See, I was thinking, why king was sponsoring these four kids? And a good food, but he had a condition to bring from the Israel guys, four. God actually appointed them as a missionary, these four guys. And this king, the king Nebuchadnezzar, wanted to change them. He wanted to teach them literature, language, philosophy, poetry. Babylonians used to think if you change their literature, if you change their language, if you change their philosophy, then he will be a new person. Like right now, he is a king's son, I'm a god's son, he will be like Babylonian. Right now, they are Israel, now he will become like Babylonian. So philosophy changes people, poetry changes people, language changes philosophy and other things. So if you see now these days, in this world, in India or in your country, I sometimes amazed that how school system is changing philosophy.
Yeah. Yes.
How school system is changing language.
Yeah.
How school system is changing people's thought, philosophy, that you can change your sex anywhere. If you are male, you can become like lady or girl. These are the things are happening all over the world. I'm not talking only sex, changing of sex. But if you come to my country, there's too much pressure. They are changing language, they are changing history, they are changing food system, they are changing advertisement, everything. they are changing. Why? To make us like Babylonian.
Yes.
But God sent us as a missionary.
Yes.
So we have to keep our kingdom culture.
Amen.
How we can do? In the midst of all these challenges, what he did, Daniel. Daniel asked that, don't give me kingly food. Don't give me kingly wine. Do you think the food of Babylonians were bad? I don't think the food was bad.
Right.
I don't think the wine was bad. But he wanted to control himself. He wanted to control his appetite. He wanted to control his hungerness. You know, too much appetite right now people have?
Yes.
Hungerness? People are hungry. It's not about food. They are hungry for different things now these days.
Yes.
Different hungerness.
Yes.
Different, you know, internet. They are creating hungerness in your kids. Cyberspace is a big space. They create hungerness and appetite. And now Daniel said, no, I'm not going to cross this line.
Excellent.
He made one line of resistance. I will not go farther. He was keeping kingdom culture.
Excellent.
So now these days, in everywhere, all the country, you go, there is Nebuchadnezzar. The name will be different. But they are trying to change your kids. They are trying to change the community. They are trying to change the school system. I don't know after 20 years what type of culture will be here.
Yes.
So we as a Christian, we have to make one line that we are not going to cross.
Amen.
We are not going to cross so that we can keep the kingdom culture.
Amen.
In myself, in my family, in the church, and also in the kingdom. I was amazed to hear that how you are doing ministry in the school. What a beautiful thing you are doing.
Yes.
I'm thankful. So the first thing is we have to make a line of resistance that I will not go farther.
Amen.
Yeah. Nor internet will come to your bedroom. That's good. That's good if you seeing good things.
Yes.
Yeah. But many a time in internet you will find bad things also.
Yes.
I know one family in my church. He came and he said, his father said, that you know, my whole family destroyed because of pornography. My wife, my son, my daughter, it entered to their bedroom. So Nebuchadnezzar can touch your home also.
Yes.
So make a line of resistance, please. Then you can keep your kingdom culture in your home.
Amen.
Nor there are thousands of things is going to destroy you.
Yes.
What happened next? Now, our brother Daniel was there, and king was so good king. Nebuchadnezzar was very good king. I never saw that type of king. Actually, he was not good. He was bad. I think he was worse. How? He saw one beautiful dream. Okay. And he called all the people of or intellectual and, you know, people and asked them, tell me my meaning of my dream. They said, okay, we are going to tell you the meaning of your dream, but tell us first your dream. He said, no, I'm not going to tell you my dream. You are going to tell me dream as well as you are going to explain. Did you ever see this type of king? He is not telling his dream and asking to tell. I don't know really. But see, all the intellectual people, all the knowledgeable people in his state were unable to explain, tell his dream, nor was able to explain. Then people called those who will, oh, Daniel is there. So Daniel came, he prayed, he came, he said, okay, I'm going to tell. But before he says, look at, I'm not going to telling you this dream, or I'm not going to explain you this dream, but it's from God. Because he had a prayerful life.
Yes.
He has a great connection with God. He didn't like to have knowledge. Rather, he liked to have wisdom.
Beautiful. Yes.
So, knowledge, you can find in your political life, in your community, so many knowledgeable people. But now these days, this world needs a people who are having wisdom. So you are wise man of God.
Yes.
And you need, God wants you to use you in this community. We need wisdom rather than knowledge. You know, you have big politicians here in this world. They are not able to solve a simple problem.
That's right.
Russia versus Ukraine. They are not able to do. They need wisdom rather than knowledge and understanding. Or knowledge is good. Understanding is good, but wisdom gives answer.
Amen. Yes.
So he said, king's dream as well as explained. So the second thing, if you want to be a kingdom man or keep the culture of kingdom, so you have to believe on God and look for wisdom rather than just knowledge. You can find knowledge in any book. Maybe in the library. But wisdom you can't get.
That's right.
Wisdom only comes from God.
Yes.
So being a kingdom man or woman, or if you want to keep kingdom culture, so you have to go for wisdom rather than knowledge. And you know the story later what happened. And Nebuchadnezzar wanted to put them into fire. We all know.
Yes.
I like their answer. God is going to rescue us. If he does not rescue us, still we are not going to compromise. Look at their confidence. It's not about only faith.
Yes.
You know, I had a great faith on my wife. Her name is Lily. But now these days, I have confidence on her. Primarily after marriage, I had faith. But now I know more because I have been with her for 25 years. Now I know what she likes, what she doesn't like. But I have confidence that she is not going to get, you know, if I give any white color cold drinks to her, she will say, But I have confidence if I take any black color Coke to her, she will love it. So I have confidence. So it's confidence comes with experience.
Yes.
Faith comes from God. But when you practice this faith one after another, then you will have more confidence on God.
Yes.
That's what he did.
Yes.
That's why he had more confidence. We are facing same problem. In India. I have been working there more than 25 years. And in these 25 years, it is very hard to work in a heathen country where in my state, Christian population is 0.03%, not even 0.5%. Not even 1%. When I get up early in the morning, if I go for morning walk, first I hear their worship song. If I go half kilometer after, then again I see another temple, again those sound, they yell early morning.
Yes.
In chatting. So it's hard. If you go to school system, you will find all Hindu literature and language. if you walk on the, you know, road, you have to see always their culture, their language, their philosophy, their understanding. But you needed to have wisdom. Yes. How to raise your kids.
Yes.
I'd like to just tell you that how we are maintaining and how we are extending God's kingdom in India. And how we are using your financial inputs in India. I'm going to show you. This is my family. I have only one wife. Her name is Lily. This Paul said. He never got married, but he said, yeah, you have to have one wife if you want to be elder. And I have my son. Son is here. And I have one daughter too. And this is church ministry. For 25 years, we have planted 103 churches. And out of 103 churches, right now, I am overseeing 52 churches. And this church are, some churches are big, some churches are small, some churches you will find more than 350 people, some churches we have 70. So God is, you know, glorifying himself through this church ministry. And we are working in many different states. And all the states, they have their own language. Some states speaks Odia, some states speaks Bengali, some states speaks Santhali. And we have more than 100 languages. So, but we are managing. I know 5 to 7 languages I can understand. So, but I can speak 3 or 4, maybe 5 languages. So this is our church ministry. And we, thanks for your prayer. And God has been, you know, working in the church tremendously. So many miracles are happening there. Look at this girl. She had cancer in her throat. Yeah. And that was the last stage. And doctor told within six months, she is going to die. And we prayed. And she got saved. God saved her. Right now, she doesn't have cancer. So this is how people are seeing that God is, our God is an active God. Yes. He hears our prayer. He gives answer. He extend his arms and touch. Someone told me yesterday, his hand always touches us, but his arm is very long.
Yes. Yes.
His arm is very long. So this is our church ministry, and this is we call leprosy ministry. This is the ministry we started first in 25-6 years back, before we plant any church. So these are all leprosy patients. You can see their legs, their hands, their eyes. Leprosy is a skin disease, but later it affects your nervous system. They become beggar. They lose their fingers and, you know, eyes, eyelid. Even in night time, sometimes they can't sleep. They because their eyelid doesn't work, so they put some clothes. So that's why we provide those specs and other things. We provide food, we provide medical clothing, and their children are not able to go to school because other school they don't accept them, because those children goes from leprosy colony. So other parents thinks, say, their children will be in danger because of stigma they have. Yes. They think it's a contagious, so they are not able to go to school. So we opened schools in their village, and this is also leprosy ministry. Look at this beautiful little girl. She comes to our school. So this little boy, he comes to our school, and that's their, you know, home. This is our school. It's an informal school. We do not have formal building. So we provide food and grocery, shoes and clothing and other things. If you want to know their more about their need, if you go outside, you will find some papers are there. You can get more information. Look, this is same. We as a church, we try to connect water line for them. Now they are getting water in their village. So this is the children's, they are having sports, fun time. This is children ministry. This is one of our biggest ministry in India. So we feed them every day they come. We feed them, we teach them, we provide medical aids. But they are not from leprosy colony. They are from other community, maybe many communities. In Odisha we have. We have in Purulia, we have in Calcutta, in many places. They are poor. Their father, maybe mother, doesn't have any work. They don't get food. So they come to church every day. And we feed them and we teach them. And for 25, 26 years, and one day I met one man, a handsome man, and he came and touched my feet. This is Indian culture. So I said, yeah, bless you. And he asked me, can you remember me? I said, not really. He said, right now I'm engineer in Calcutta. I used to go to your church. My father and mother were poor. Now they are no more poor. I'm their son and I'm an engineer. So this is, we are changing generation. So in leprosy colony, those children were, you know, their parents were beggar. Their children were roaming around. So we fed them, we teach them, and now they become businessmen. They are no more beggar. So we say beggar to businessmen.
Amen.
But it took 22 to 25 years. It's a long term.
Yes.
And we feed children every day. You can see this is our church. They pray, they learn Bible, they learn physics, chemistry, biology also. And yeah, this is Odisha. These children are orphan. Some are semi-orphan, some are poor. And many of their parents were killed by Hindu extremists. They lost their father and mother. So church is taking care of some of the children. See, so they are having food, mother and child ministry. Many mothers die during pregnancy, during after pregnancy, during delivery because they don't get food. So we as a church, we feed them, we give them medicine, we take care, we give teaching to them. So every year we adopt 50 poor mothers. These are mothers and the children are graduating. So, yeah. This is our youth ministry. We have a very good youth ministry in all the churches. They are amazing. They are growing. And they go outside for every Sunday. One Sunday in a month. Like one Sunday, they don't come church. One Sunday, they go out for preaching and they come in the church in evening time. They bring, you know, some friends sometime and they come, they testify what happened how they knocked the door, what happened, someone heard, someone didn't, someone kicked them out. So that's the evening fellowship. So we have good youth ministry. We have computer classes for poor children, and we give certificate to them, and they get job through our certificate and course. We started music ministry last 6 years. We have good music ministry. So we call Hindu children come and learn guitar, learn keyboard. So they come for 6 months. We not only teach them this musical instrument, but we also give them gospel. Last month, 3 children got saved. Yes. 3 youths got saved last month through music ministry. So music ministry is also... This is our tailoring classes for, poor mother or... maybe lady, so we teach them how to stitch, and we provide them free of cost, stitching machine sometime, and also capital to start their own ministry. This is our free tuition center. Every church in evening time, a whole month, we have free tuition. That means community children come in evening and they can learn physics, chemistry, maths, any subject. So we have free teacher there, so we provide. And also sometime we feed them. This is our same music ministry. AWDT is a Asian Worship Discipleship Training. We have been doing this for 25 years, and we have more than 650 graduates. Many graduates become businessmen, many graduates become construction worker, many graduates become good husband, many graduates become, everywhere they are involved, and many are involved in different churches as a minister, but out of 450, 62 leaders are with us. We have 62 leaders and elders in Covenant Family Church. This is an amazing course. Income generation program. We help community people give finance to start their own business. So, this is fishery. We help if you have pond, you don't have money, we will give you seed money, you start your fishing project. So it's a goat farming. We teach community people how to farm goat, and then we provide them goat. And they do, they keep the goat, and when goat grows, they go take them to the marketplace and sell. And this is piggery. We also provide pigs. it's great because they do not need to feed them. They live in tea garden. They get food free of cost in the garden. So, and they are doing good business. And this is mushroom project. We teach them how to grow mushroom in their home. And they grow mushroom and they sell it. Not only they feed themselves, but also they sell in the market. And also we teach them how to make soap and detergent production, and they make it, they pack it, and they go outside and sell it. It's a very good product we have, although we do not have a big market, but we have good market. This is whitening agent production. In India, we say blue, so we use it. So it's also, we have production unit. This is amazing project. This is called water storage reservoir. 22 years back, I was in a top mountain and preaching gospel. There was no road, no electricity, no running water, nothing, no clinic, even not school. So there was a small, very small village. And not a single Christian was there. So I was preaching there, and God saved two or three families there. It was very hard. You have to climb. Still, if you go today, there is no road after 22 years. So, but they didn't have water. So I found that they have a small stream, which is 2 miles far from their village. So every day they go there and they take their bucket, take some water, and come back and cook. So we have been praying for a long time, and then the last few years back, God gave us some finances. So what we did, we made one water storage nearby that stream, and then connected pipe from that storage to the village, and now they have water. See? And this is our bore well, deep tube well, we say. You say maybe bore well. So the villages where they don't get water, so we provide them. Church provide these things, bore well, so that they get water. This is solar light. If any village, they don't have light in night time, so we provide solar light or solar panel light in your language, maybe. Every 6 months, we organize free eye checkup camp, and we provide free specs for poor people. It's number maybe 1,000, but we give free of cost the specs. And we are trying to connect with some big specs company, and they give us specs, and you know, maybe they charge 25% only. They give 75% discount because we are church. So during COVID, we prepared food every day, more than 5,000 people. Every day, we used to provide food in the village. We used to provide food in the hospital. We used to give food to the police. And any needy person, whoever is going by the road, if he's hungry, he can get food from the church. Not only in one church, but maybe 4 or 5 churches every day we used to give free food. And bulk food distribution. We distributed food, say, all grocery item, rice and lentil and all things for, that's, I think, for one family is more than 1 month grocery was there. And these are the things, medical support for West Bengal government. We provided many medical equipment, batteries, sanitizer, mask, hand gloves to hospital, because hospital were, you know, in scarcity, these things. So as a church, we bought those things and provided them in government hospital. Thank you for watching Covenant Family Church and Compassion Way. And if you have any question, you can ask me. I will be here, or my son, or pastor, or Holly, certainly with Rick. And feel free to ask questions. We will be here after church. But the thing is, I want to just tell you that we have to keep the kingdom culture.
Amen.
If you are in St. Louis, you have to keep the kingdom culture. If you are in India, you have to keep the kingdom culture. You have to go for wisdom rather than knowledge.
Amen.
Go for wisdom. And also, be confident on God, not just, I know God.
Right.
You have to have confidence. I'd like to call Holly to come and conclude for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Matthew 25 says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you and give you something to drink? When did we do these things?" And the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." And the team in India, they live that every day. This morning we've heard a lot about impact, right? Whether we're impacting across the street or across the world, we're called to impact. We're called to take what we have and take it out into the world. Amen? So Covenant Family Church, which was started by Rajib 25 years ago, in 1998, Rajib graduated from the ministry training program. Ritesh was born. Rick and I were married. That was a pivotal year for our families. And we are deeply linked because of that. So while this is about Covenant Family Church and Compassion Way, it's really about the Arohans and the Perrymans. So Rajib started Covenant Family Church 25 years ago. Several years back, my husband started Compassion Way. The relationship between the two is that Compassion Way raises the funds and the awareness, which we then lay at Rajib's feet for them to do what they do. Okay? That's the relationship between the two. There's lots of oppression and poverty in India. When you go there, it's a Hindu nation. The need is almost overwhelming. It's just everywhere. There are over 1 billion people. It's now the most populated country in the world. And the need is overwhelming. As you heard, 0.3% of the country is Christian. So there is no end to the need, but where there is great need, there is great opportunity. And what I can tell you, we just came back from India in April, what I can tell you is that the kingdom of God is advancing, and it is moving mightily. But there is still so much left to do. So the work that Covenant Family Church does is they first start by meeting the most critical needs, right? When people don't have food, when they are not safe, they don't care about the gospel, right? You have to start by getting people safe, by getting people stable. Let's get you something to eat. Let's take care of you, right? And when you do that, people then say, "Who are you? Why are you doing this?" Because that just doesn't happen in India. And so they start by meeting the most basic needs. That's why you see so much with food, food programs, training programs, education. That's where they start. And so there are three things that you need to advance the kingdom: time, energy, and resources. Okay? The time comes. This last trip, we visited a leather complex. It was very upsetting to me. It was, there are open sewers, there's no running water, there's no sanitation. It was difficult to see. And we get back and I looked at Rajib and I'm like, who do I fight? What do we do? Like, I want to fix this today. And Rajib, in his wisdom, because he understands these things, he said, we won't fix it today. But in 20 years, this will look different. And that's hard to hear when you're there. You're like, 20 years? Some of these people aren't going to survive 20 years. But what he understands is you have to play the long game, right? And you start with the children, and you raise up a new generation. And you educate them, and you help them understand they have opportunities, and you show them those opportunities, and you give them the information that they need, and you help them be healthy and fed, right? And then 20 to 25 years, things start to change. But this is a long game. This is a lifetime commitment. So there has to be time, and we have to commit, and we have to stay with it. Energy. There is a team of people that pour themselves out every day to make this happen. And so we need to be praying for them. They are engaged in a spiritual battle. They are engaged in the battle of their life. When we left India on the last night there, we left in the middle of the night. So the plan was Rajib would come with the cars, and we would go to the airport. I mean, they met us at the hotel at 11 o'clock at night for a 4 a.m. flight. The entire team showed up. There were 20 people that escorted us to the airport, this whole caravan of cars, because we've built relationships. And there is a team there that they've become our dearest friends. And they pour themselves out. And at the airport, as we were getting ready to leave, every one of them was coming up and grabbing us and saying, don't forget us. You have to pray for us. Because they know they're engaged in a battle. And what they want more than anything are your prayers. So I need you to know them, to remember them, and pray for them. I'm going to tell you how to do that in a minute. And then resources. I mean, this. Let's be honest, you have to have money. It takes a lot of money to make this happen, right? It doesn't. I mean, feeding programs, computer training, that stuff doesn't, medical equipment, that stuff doesn't just happen. Okay, so what can you do? So there's three documents outside that you can grab on your way out. If we run out, come get me. I'll get you as many as you need, okay? The first thing, there is a fact sheet. So take that fact sheet. This is just a snapshot of what's happening around. This is not even the whole 25-year history. So when you read that, I mean, you know, the number of churches, the number of people, the number of programs, you start to get an idea of the scope of what they do. It's incredible. So read that fact sheet, you start to get, but remember, that's just a snapshot today. That's not everything that's happened. That's not everything that's being planned. So that's the first one. The second sheet that's out there are bios of the team. It's not even the whole team, it's the core team, but there is a picture, there is a name, and an explanation of what they do. Take that home. Pray for them. Pray for them. They want your prayer. I mean, I can't tell you how many times they just grabbed us and just said, pray for us. They pour themselves out. Who's pouring into them? We had an opportunity on the last day to minister to the team there. It was just the leaders. And as we ministered to them and prayed, they were just weeping. Because they pour themselves out. They need your prayer. So cover them in prayer. The third page is a way to give. And we've just broken out some things that happen and kind of what the approximate cost is of that each month. So if you would like to be a part of it, to help support that, there's ways to do that. You can start to understand what the need is and how to give to that. Okay? And you can do that. It's two ways you can give. You can give through Life Church. If you mark it as India or Compassion Way, then the church gets that money to Compassion Way, and then we distribute that to India. Or you can give directly to Compassion Way. CompassionWay.org is the website. Okay? Okay, so that's the deal. Learn about it. Pray for them. And consider support so that we can keep the mission going. We will keep extending the kingdom. God is on the move. And as my husband says, India is the front lines. When we stand in the leather complex that we went to, we get out, and right in front of us is this big Hindu festival. People are rolling around in mud and cow dung. There's loud blaring music. We couldn't even talk to each other. And people are worshiping this Hindu god. People are running around. It was crazy. The stench was overwhelming. And you're just like, oh my gosh, there it is. And then the team said, come with us. And we walk all the way through and we get to the other end of this complex. And here's this child development program that they have established. And they're playing worship music and these kids are dancing and to a worship song. And we get to speak to them and you just start pouring. So you have Hindu worship, Ram festival over here. You have children worshiping Jesus over here. And it is the front line. This is where the kingdom is advancing. And we will continue to advance. Amen? All right, I'm going to pray and we're going to close out. Father God, we thank you for all of these opportunities around us today. We thank you that you have filled us up. You have equipped us. You have given us your word and you have given us a mission. And Father God, we ready ourselves, we strengthen ourselves to go across the street, to minister to schools, to minister to families, to take your word out of this building and out into the community, to reach those who need you, to bring hope and love all around us. And Father God, we stand with our brothers and sisters on the other side of the world. We pray your blessing over them. We pray that you would fill them and strengthen them. We pray for resources to be at their feet, that as they lay themselves down before you, that they would have all the resources needed to continue to minister and to go forth. And we do all of this in your name, to your glory, and to the advancement of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you need prayer for anything this morning, come up. I'm going to ask Rajib to also be up here as we close out. If you would like prayer, please come up. Have a blessed day. Thank you.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.